what is this? Did she bring your bags?
There was a special at Bingo, $2.99, dozen of eggs.
A what?
There was a special at Bingo, $2.99 for a dozen eggs.
A dozen eggs?
Wow.
You should have what? Wow. Now you tell us.
You could have sold it for $3.99 here.
So for $8.99 here. Yeah. Okay, let's start. Nu mizmor nun alf. Mizmor nun alf no. Ein no ella l'shoin bakasha. By the way, is there any significance to the numbers? You know, we know that there's a machlokes, there are 49 chapters, 147 mizmorim, is 150 mizmorim. Is there any significance in the number of mizmor? Let's say an even more fundamental question. In the Torah, there are 200, if not mistaken, 245 parshios. And what I mean by that is parsha stuma, parsha psucha. We laid on Shabbos, you know, we have 54 parshios. Is there a significance to the way they're divided, the 54 parshios? Is there a significance to that number? The Zohar actually says there are only 53 parshios, and everyone only has scratched their head to try to reconcile the reality that in the Chumash there are 54 parshios with what the Zohar says that there are gan parshios. There are many, many very interesting answers to reconcile this statement of the Zohar. But ask even more fundamental question. Who says, is there a significance to the number? Who cares? I mean, so what? So very nice. You count up all the numbers, all the parashios. There are 54. Is there a significance? In the parashios psuchois and stumois, I think it's 245. It's interesting because that's the number of... Emudim in the Sefer Torah. Isn't that amazing? I have to go back and look up the number of parshios. Psuchos, every time there are Peir HaSamach, how many times there are Peir HaSamach in the Torah? I think 245. That would be an incredible phenomenon if that's true.
48
or one, right? Now there's a movement. There was a movement for many years that Sofrim should adopt a new standard. Firstly, years ago there was no standard. Before the Chafetz Chaim, let's say probably 80 years ago, it was the Wild West. There was absolutely no standard in how many columns were in a Sefer Torah, not that I know of. There was a person, Davidowitz. Davidowitz, or some pronounce his name, Davidovich. Davidovich, Davidowitz. He was a sefer par excellence, and Chaim Blumen have a sefer that he himself wrote. Avraham Fruchtin Sefer was written by Davidowitz. Davidovich. You ever see it? It looks like it was written by a computer. Okay, I once in the summertime was a shtickle gabai here, and I looked at the sefer very carefully because I knew that it was written by him, Davidovich, and it looks like it was not written by a human being. Because it's so perfect and it's so consistent, which bothers me very much. You like a little personality. If everyone was like normal, people like Mayor Appeldorf, unpredictable. There has to be some type of imbalance. Something that makes a person a little off is what makes people unique. So his writing, it's scary. I don't have a smartphone in those days. It's actually scary, his writing. I got one day sneak in and take a photocopy, take a picture of the smartphone of the Ksav. But he accomplished what no one else could have accomplished. I don't know how he did this. He standardized Ksiva Stam today. What?
Did he teach Sofrim?
I have no idea. I know very little. He died only like 2-3 years ago. He died very recently, 2-3 years ago.
Safer.
Did
he write a ticket?
I don't know what he wrote. I don't know. All I know is that he standardized the writing of Sefer Torah, where basically today when a Sefer writes a Sefer Torah, they go to the store, they have special store supplies, and they have special printouts. Special, it's like a tikkun Sefer, tikkun koirim.
Like a template?
Yeah. And I don't know if you've ever seen, it's very interesting. It's basically like you have a tikkun for Balei Kriya. Everyone knows what a tikkun is. So the tikkun for the Balei Kriya really was stolen from the tikkun Sofrim. And that's why some of the tikkun...
Menachem
Davidovich. He died only like, 2-3 years ago. And if you get the real, they give the cipher and they show you exactly where every word
ends. The words end at exactly.
Today it's, you can't sell. No one's going to want to buy it. No one's going to want to go buy a sefer Torah that's not standardized. According to the halacha, there is no standard. The Rambam gives some basic guidelines, and that's why you look at the old sefer Torah. Some of them are very, very long, very long columns.
Yeah.
They go on and on and on forever. And they're very heavy. The cloth, that's the cloth issue. That's the cloth issue. But they're very long or wide, narrow. There was no standard. You do whatever you want. He came along and he standardized everything based on certain rules. And everyone followed. So maybe everyone willing to follow. But it's more. If you go to the Svarim, they give you in justification. Today, when you do word processing, so you just click on the top in the menu, you want to be justified. So every line, the word begins perfectly at the beginning of the line, and every at the end, you go anything can be safer. At the end of every single line, it ends perfectly at the end of the line. It doesn't go outside the margin, even a mashahu. Yeah, very easy when you do with computers, so the computer can easily space the words perfectly. But in ancient times, there's no computers. So when a sefer writes, how does he justify? How does he do justification? So he has to make a calculation. How many words are there? Yeah, this word has five. This word has five letters. This word has six letters, seven letters, whatever it is. And they figure it out. And that's why you would see in the old Sefer Torah, there's some very long reishes. There's some very long bases. Very long lamids. Very long bases. Right, or sometimes it's not that they would squeeze it in. Today you'll never see, in a new Sefer Torah, you'll never, why not? Because there's a standard, exactly how many words, and there's also a number. There is a number, and if you ever see the photocopies of the paper lach they give to the Seferim, there's, before each line begins, there's a number, 3, 4, 2, and that number is telling the Sefer how much space. Is this a tight line or is this a wide line? In other words, on this line, there's going to be, let's say, on this page, on the top line, 1, 2, 3, 4. You look at the no, now go to the second line. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So there are seven words. So how
six
much?
Places.
How much? So this, you should be aware that it's very tight. It's very tight, more than average. Be aware of that. And make sure that your letters don't make big lamids, don't make wide bases. Make sure that, and don't leave too much space in between the words. In between the words, you should minimize the amount of space. And then you'll have the next line will be a different number indicating to the sefer when you write the line, give a little bit more space. Because this line has only not so many words, and you have to stretch it just a little bit so it should come out looking very, very nice. Today, everything has been standardized, and if you don't follow and if you're not going to follow the standard, you're not going to want to buy. No one's going to want to buy it. All right, Pinchas. So what happened? So he standardized, if I'm not mistaken, the 245 columns. Today, the average Dubai Sefer Torah, there are about exactly 245 columns. If that is so, if I'm not mistaken, there are 245. I don't. Maybe I was saying. I'm forgetting. Psuchos and stumos. How many times the letter pei and the letter samach appear in the Sefer Torah? I think it's 245.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, it's amazing that the standard in today's world, Klal Yisrael Baruch Hashem, 15 million people, there are 7 million Jews living there, there are 9 million people living in Eretz Yisrael, of which is about 7 million Jews. There are 2 million, I think the statistics are, there are Jews and Arabs and other citizens, but there are, I think, 7, and the whole world. And today, any new Sefer Torah is going to follow this standard, and it's amazing, the Hashkocha Pratis, that there should be the same number of columns as there are the number of Psuchos and Stumos. It's remarkable.
Are tefillin also standardized?
Yes, tefillin are very standardized, and so is our mezuzah. Mezuzah is probably the most standardized. And unfortunately, Rachman al-Litzlan, you know what else is standardized? A get. A get is standardized.
Well,
no, it doesn't. There's no.
Because if it's different, then
It's only 12 lines.
12 lines. They're certain hakpadas. Chveisnish. I don't know. It's not true. Not motzilas. Anyway, I don't know. Ksuba, no. Ksuba is a rabbinic document. Ksuba is... Subas is no, it's not nothing, but it's a rabbinic mayor. They're gonna take that soundbite when you run for office. When you run for office, they're gonna take that soundbite and they're gonna use it against you. They're gonna use it against you, mayor. So let's go further over here. So I just find so different. Is there a significance in these numbers? 54 parashiyos. 54 parashiyos, the Zohar says 53, there are 275, now I told you the 100 is that today there are Soifrim that have complained that the standard we've been using probably for 70 years, even more, is too tight. 275 is too tight. So someone came along and made 245 is too tight, and they said that we need three more columns. So someone came along and made a new standard. I don't know who made this new standard. 248. When you buy a Sefer Torah, you have to make a decision. Do you want now a standard, the old standard 245 or 248? 248 sounds very nice to Ramach Evarim. But if it's true and Mitzvah Saseh. But if it's true that 245 is the number of psuchos and stumos, that would be a nice number to have a Sefer Torah also, you know, if that's true, to that corresponding. So someone has come along the last couple of years and has pushed very hard to have a new standard for 248. And they've made inroads. And many, many Sefer Torah now are 248. Where I daven on Shabbos, I think most of them, they have Baruch Hashem, they have, I don't know how many new they have, whatever they are. But I think the main Sefer Torah are 248. And the old Balikriya, this is old Balikriya, because the Tikkun columns, three more columns, which do not perfectly correspond with it. It's not so different, but it's insert. I think in Chumash Bereishis, it's very confusing, but there are certain... It's not like the tikkun koyrim. On the market today, every tikkun that you can possibly buy follows the two for a balkriya is 240, 245, not 248. And if, unless you're a real mumcha and you have a lot of experience, it can get confusing. You're used to seeing when you practice, you're used to preparing the kriya satoira on a 245. So it's like a weapon, like a gun, right? Caliber, right? A magazine. It sounds like an AK, an AK this, right? It sounds like a weapon. People, people who lane are used to a 245. They're not used to a 248. So you have people like Moshe Mayevsky that would probably laugh you out of this room and say, if you know your stuff, if you know it inside out, it doesn't make a bit of a difference. But Mayevsky, not everyone is blessed with that kind of mind. And some people like me, I get very confused. I really do. I lane occasionally and I have a hard time. Listen, it is what it is. I don't know what my mouth.
Does that mean that you're not laning what you're memorizing?
Okay, fine. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. I'll tell you the joke, the old joke, Chaim Berlin, everyone knows the joke, there was an incredible Balkri, his name was Rav Moshe Fruchthandler, Zichrono Levracha. Tragically, he passed away very young. And he was the Balkri in Chaim Berlin, and he put on a show. I loved his learning, he put on a show. Rav Menachem Sperling remembers very clearly. So you know, the biggest Hanah that I had from him was he would make mistakes. If he can make mistakes, I can make mistakes. Okay? He made mistakes. And one week he made a mistake. He added a word into the laning that did not exist. He read a pasuk and he just added a word. So when he came to say good Shabbos to the Rosh Hashiva, you should be gesund and well. So the Rosh Hashiva stopped him and he says, I don't understand. How do you come to add a word that doesn't say when you lane? What's going on here? The Shiva took it very seriously. The Shiva took laning very seriously. Everyone knows that. The Shiva is like a hawk. Took it very, to an extreme. So he says to him, it only happens when I lane by heart. And he moves, and he keeps on moving. You know, he goes, Shabbos. Oh yeah, when I lay in my bal pes, that's what happens. And the Rashi was stunned because, you know, he's very like Tamimistic. He took him seriously. And what? You lay by heart? You don't look inside when you lay? He was a joker. He was a very big joker. Very big joker. But like, of course, whatever, you know.
I did something like that one time and I got a frask.
From Rav Moshe?
No, from Rav Albishtam. He gave me a slap in the face.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so it's interesting. And I'll just tell you, the person, the story is that Rabbi Pinkus, Rabbi Heshi Pinkus, the one who... is the, who was the balabas on Tiferes Stam, okay, he was sponsoring the shir, of course, on Coney Island. So he told me, you know, he sells a lot of Sifrei Torah, and he does, like, also these very ceremonial type of, you know, the whole show. He probably invented the whole show of a Hachanah Sefer Torah. So he told me personally, I see very often, he davens in Rabbi Schmidt, and I see him very often, he told me that there was a big gevir, and out of town somewhere, I don't know, and he told me his name, and he made a bar mitzvah. His son was bar mitzvah, and in honor of his son's bar mitzvah, he bought a new Sefer Torah. So part of this very extremely elaborate bar mitzvah, he it was a new Sefer Torah. It was like a Hachnosa Sefer Torah Bar Mitzvah. Instead of going to a Bar Mitzvah, they have some theme of a television show, Rahman Litzlan, which is not so uncommon. So this gevir for his son, and it sounds like more modern Orthodox community, he bought a Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah today can cost at least $50,000. Yeah. Okay, it goes even way up. But he bought a brand beautiful, he said one of the best. So by Pinkus, he ordered a Sefer Torah. And he, without even realizing, he ordered a 248. A 248. The three extra columns, which has become very common. It's become.
Did they shift over one line?
I don't know exactly. It's a significant difference. Once you get off track. It gets a little bit confusing.
The same lines, it just shift over.
Right. The lines are pretty much the same, but like the top of the column. The top of the column and the bottom of the column is different.
Also?
What? No, the Vav Hamudim, yeah, that doesn't matter. That's the same. They all have the Vavs.
You don't see any more ones at
all. Right, they all have the Vavs, like the Megillah. You don't see a Megillah that doesn't have a Melah Melech. It doesn't exist.
It's the Gra Megillah, the two.
The Gra is the 11 line Megillah. The Gra is in the 11 lines is the Gra Megillah. So he said that he ordered, so they did this.
10 sons,
11, because that it's 11 lines by the Aseres, but Haman really are 11. It's like the Shemona Esrei is really 19, and the Aseres Haman is really 11. Okay, there are a lot of things like, and every yeshiva that tells you that they're, you know, 100 years old, you know, it's really, really 98. You know, we have, mathematics is not very good with math and Jewish people. The numbers don't always add up. But in any event, so he told me, so they had the Sefer Torah, and they opened up the boy in this very elaborate bar mitzvah, a very to an extreme, and the boy prepared his heart out, and then the new Sefer Torah, it was 248, the boy opens up the Sefer Torah, and it was all mixed up, because it's not what it says in the Tikkun. And the boy had a breakdown. And the boy really like he was 30, what do you want, a little kid, 13-year-old kid. He got all worked up, and he had a major breakdown, and like it did not go off well. And he said, this is what he told me, Rabbi Pinkus. Go away. He davens here in the shul very often, and he told me he got an earful from this gevir. This gevir called him up and said, what in the world did you do? You embarrassed me. You did this. You did that. Blah, 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 blah. Like what did you do? My son prepared. He prepared. We had this whole. He spent all this.
This actually reflects that we changed from a generation of generalists to a generation of specialists. I mean, Shmuel.
Yeah.
When you learn in Torah, wherever you go, whatever Torah is there, you know how to learn it.
Yeah, right.
But today you've got to have the specific Torah that only this one.
It's a standard. Listen, it's not a kasha.
lot of our mitzvah teachers take the buffer to the basement.
Right. They do that, right. 100%. You're right. So why didn't they do that? I don't know. You're right. The few times that I taught, you go, you take them to shul, you take out the sefer Torah, even though it's not so posh to do that, but you do it anyway. You break all the rules and you do it because you familiarize the kid, v'chulu. You're right. So why didn't they do that with this kid? I don't know the answer. No, it's also an experience. It's a different experience learning from klaf and learning from a chumash by the bima. You want to film everything. He's a little kid. What do you want? There's a little kid.
A big print of the Amud, and you let him practice some letters with him.
Okay. So he told me. So Rabbi Pinchas basically told me, you know something? He said to me, this is a godless of a person. This is a true greatness of a person. Rabbi Pinchas basically said to me, he's right. This person was right. It's already been a standard already for about 70 years. And okay, so there are some of the soifrim complain that it's too tight. It's too tight, it's hard to write in certain parts. And the people, the Balei Kriya, would really, if they had been trained from the beginning, they need a little more revach. There are certain sections of the Torah that are too tight. And it would not have been such a bad idea 70 years ago to add three more columns. But it's too late. It's just too late. And it's just confusing everyone. It's just confusing the 248, the 245. And therefore he told me, because he's very, you know, he's very influential. I have a person over here around the corner over here who has incredible influence over Safras all over the world. He's a very big supplier, a very big coordinator.
Another person?
No, Pinchas. Heshe Pinchas, you don't realize how much power he has, and he communicates with Soifrim every day, all over the world, mainly, it's only written, and he told me that he really pressured and attempted to persuade the Soifrim in the Eretz Yisrael to cut it out, and to go back to the 245. And he told me that he thinks that to a degree he was successful. And now the trend is heading back to 245.
The ticket is 245.
245. The old, there's no significance to 245. Davidovich invented the 245. It was Davidovich who was the...
Davidovich.
Yeah.
He gave shiurim on the Sefer Torah from the Chofetz Chaim. He gave shiurim. He wrote 26 Sefer Torah.
26?
26. He was a Meir Sharim. He was the cipher for the Badas. A lot of the suffer, you know.
He trained and he standardized. He gets incredible credit. The other person who gets the most credit for the standardization of Safras is who? The Chofetz Chaim, beyond the shadow of a doubt. The Chofetz Chaim, he basically changed the whole Tzuras Oitzios. He came along, looked at all the Sefer Torah, and he did not like what he was going on. And he wrote the kuntras called Mishnah Soifrim. It's in Chelik Aleph and Mishnah Brura, where he defines exactly. We went through all the Mekoros, the shape of the letter, and since the publishing of the Mishnah Brura, he has totally changed the Tzuras Oisiyos of every Sefer Torah that is out there. They have today photocopies. You can go of the Chassam Sofer's tefillin. Now, there's no one that was greater than the Chassam Sofer in more modern times. The Chassam Sofer was everything you can have in a person. The Gadol Hadar, he was just unbelievable. Believe me, we have his tefillin. No one here in this room would buy his tefillin. You would say anyone that you would not buy for your grandchild the tefillin. They would say they're substandard. I'm not joking. You would say this is not the letters, the way we write today. This is by unser Mensch. We have higher standards.
Prehistoric.
You say, oh, this is my Bali, so we'll show this to you. If you have some knowledge of Safras, you look at it, you say, this is, you know, for a Bala boss, this is not for a Ben Torah. Excuse me, you know who you're talking about over here? You're talking about a person that is greater than the whole generation put together. It's an amazing phenomenon. It's an amazing phenomenon. And the Chofetz Chaim, the koyach of the Chofetz Chaim in every dimension of Yadus, mm-hmm. is mamish alive, alive. It's not believable his impact. Yes, Rav Gansfried wrote the Keses HaSofer. The Keses HaSofer, you need to know that by heart in order to get a Ksav Kabbalah. You need a license. Today, you have to have a license to write. There's a tradition. It's not halacha. To do shechita, you must have Kabbalah, which means you must have authorization from the Shulchan Aruch, from an accepted Talmud Chacham that has tested you and gives you permission to do shechita. There is no halacha anywhere that you need to get Kabbalah, a Ksav Kabbalah, to be a Sofer. However, in today's generation, 2023, Tavshin Pei Gimel, you will not be able to sell a mezuzah today unless you have a Ksav Kabbalah. Even though you don't need. There's no store. You go into Eichler's, I don't... What? Ask them, ask them. They'll track it down for you. They will not take it. Rabbi Pinkus will not take into his store. He told me he will not take into his store any tefillin, mezuzah, any ksav stam that was written by a sofer that does not have a ksav kabbalah. Rabbi Schertzer used to. He told me. Rabbi Schertzer told me that he used to. He get stuff from sofer that do not have a ksav kabbalah. But now he told me that the market doesn't allow for that. He'll only take himself from a Ksav Kabbalah. Which basically, you know the halachas. Well, you go to a doctor, you go to a person for medical treatment that never went to medical school. You got to be out of your mind. Oh, he can operate on me. Or go into his basement and he'll do surgery on me. Ridiculous. You have to have a training. You have to have a Ksav Kabbalah.
I just had my film done by Cohen.
Yeah.
He checked it. And he said... All the
lamas. Good, you can do that, fine.
I said, I'm waiting this film for...
Okay. Okay, so it's a hiddur. It's not ma'akev.
It's a new
hiddur. It's not a new hiddur. What are you talking about new? The Gemara talks about the tag. It's a hiddur. It's nothing new. No, ma'i shoya kachoya. It's not ma'akev. Ma'i shoya kachoya. It's nice that he put the tag in for you, because most of you wouldn't even bother doing that. He's a very chashva sofer. Rabbi Cohen is a very chashva sofer. He spoke for us once, a few times.
Several times.
He's one of a kind.
What about the Arizal?
That's called ksav, the savari. Ksavari.
Right.
Ksavari.
But
they
actually
won't
use it sometimes.
I'm sorry?
They won't use it.
No, they will. Push. Well, you won't again take an aliyah from a sefer Torah that's a litva goes to a shtibel. He won't take an aliyah? Of course he'll take an aliyah, he'll make a bracha. In every shtibel...
So they follow these standards?
Everyone, they all follow... I don't know about... I think Velish also, they follow the same standard. There are three different fans, called fans. There is Ksav Beis Yosef, Ksav Ari, and Ksav Velish. Beis Yosef and Ari are kamat the same. There are very few small differences. Velish is a different, completely different mesoir of how to write. Basically, Velish is a round writing. Beis Yosef and Ari is a square. Everything is a square font. Ashkenazim use Beis Yosef and Ari. And Sfardim, V'chol HaNilvim Olav, use Velish. Ksav Velish.
What about the real Sfardim?
Real Velish. The real Sfardim is Velish. The real Sfardim...
I had a couple of people, he invited me to his house. I didn't know why. He wanted to write. I have the Sefer Torah written, and he showed me different examples for writing. And he asked me who I think he should buy. So I saw one that was obviously very different. It was Ksav Velish, and it allows for more letters on a line also, because it's rounder and it allows for more space. The letters were also not as thick.
Right, it's a different writing, but I think they follow the same standard, because the tikkun today they sell the tikkun koyrim for Baal Kriya. They can buy a tikkun ksav velich, a tikkun ksav ari, and it's the same. So it appears to be that today the standard Davidovich was so powerful he even influenced the svardim that when they write they lay it out. That's what appears. It appears that all the new svarim today are all following the same standard 245.
Very easy, because you don't have to start making
if you need, let's say something gets ruined, so you just, you swap out a piece of parchment, you don't have to go, can you imagine, everyone wrote what they want, and now there's a saving throw that's possible in a certain area, so what are you going to do? So you go, you can swap out from everything is standardized. It's very good, it makes it a lot easier. It makes it a lot cheaper, it makes it a lot easier, and it's just, it makes it better, the quality is better, because when there's a certain standard, everyone is doing the same thing. It enhances the quality. It really does. It's a very big bracha that everyone is on the same page. Literally. Pun intended. Everyone is on, it's a very big bracha. It's a big world, though. The world of Safras is a world to itself. It's a world to itself. The people that are into this, it's a fascinating time. Now, how do we get into this? We got into this because I just start over here with a little thought, and I said over here up to Nun Aleph. And I said, I asked you a question. Nun Aleph is no. Ein no ella l'shoin bakosha. So I asked you, is there any significance in the Hashkocha Pratis that it comes out that this mizma we're going to learn now is called Nun Aleph? Now, by the way, there's machlekes between the Targum and Rashi throughout the entire Chamisha Chumshe Torah. We learn this in the afternoon at 7:15. Everyone wants to come. We learn Targum and Rashi, and it's a consistent machlekes as to how you translate the word no. According to Rashi, Rashi always says a no ella l'shoin bakasha. It means a request. Please, Hashem said to Avram, kach no, please, I'm asking you a favor. Kach no es bincha es yichidcha asher hafto es yitzchak v'lech lecha eretz hamoriah. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. No one's going to hold you responsible. It's according to Rashi, and the Sfasemis dwells upon this a lot. The whole Akedah was a davar she'ena mitzuveh. We know the Gemara says, mitzuveh ve'oiseh is greater than ena mitzuveh ve'oiseh, which means, I'm telling you something shocking, the people who died in the Holocaust were greater than Avraham and Yitzchak. I just say, you'll tell me I'm not Bikari saying that, right? But it's Beferish. Because according to Rashi, because once there was a pasuk, once the Torah was given, and it says, v'nikdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael, v'nikdashti, and the halacha is you're mechuyev to give up your life. There was no tzivah at the time of the Akedah. There was no such thing. You'll tell me, oh, the avos were kind. The answer to every question is either one of the any question you ever have about Judaism, about before Matan Torah, about Avram, there are two answers. You can close your eyes and you can throw darts. Either you can say, before Matan Torah, or the other answer in Judaism is Kidei sheyishalu hatinoikos. Those two answers answer everything. Catch all. But before Matan Torah, before Matan Torah, there was no tzivui. It was she'enoi mitzuveh. Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef says, if somebody will tell me that a blind man is chayiv in mitzvahs, I will make a part. He was blind, because now that I know, mitzvah ve'oiseh is greater than ein mitzvah ve'oiseh. We have an obligation to give up our lives. Al kiddush Hashem, v'chol levav v'chol nafshecha.
Of course, they didn't have a choice.
It doesn't matter, but the fact, it doesn't matter how to choice. No one has a choice. We have a choice today. We have a choice. Wake up in the morning today, you have to go daven. You have to put on, so you have a choice. You mitzvah ve'oiseh. But they died begeder a mitzvah uvechol nafshecha. When they died, when they were killed, they died in against a backdrop of being a Jew who was mechuyev to die al kiddush Hashem. Avraham, who slaughtered Yitzhak, had no obligation to do so. According to Rashi, ein no ella l'shoin bakash. You don't. If you don't want, if you find it to be too difficult, then you don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. I'm not making this up. The Sfasemis says it's Beferish. Ein no, Rashi says, ein no Ella l'shoyin ba'kasha. Please do it. But if you don't do it, it's okay. We don't have a choice. So the 6 million people who do Kiddush Hashem, Rabbi Yosef says, I'll make a Sudas mitzvah. Because I would then be mitzvah ve'oise. Eine doime, I'm being mitzvah ve'oise, mimish eine mitzvah ve'oise. So all the people who went to the Holocaust are even greater than Yitzchak in this respect. Mitzvah ve'oise. But you know, the Targum disagrees. The Targum says, no, throughout Tanakh means now. Now. No is now. Ata. Well, I've got the Aramaic word. He always, every time we have no. Kach no. You don't have a choice, Avraham. Kach take no. Now. Not tomorrow. Not next. Don't go tell me you have to make a chasna. You're busy. You got tirdis. You got to do things now. Today. There's reason, but he could have done it in like 9 o'clock. He didn't have to do it at 6 o'clock. But now, I want, Hashem says, Kach no, you don't have a choice. No. So when every time I see the word no, I always get worked up. That's why I got worked up today. And we went on this whole long tangent. Is there a significance in the numbers? I have no idea. No, look, there are many numbers that definitely have significance. Chof Dalet, Sifrei Tanakh. And here, and you know, I go through a whole, every number has significance. But in Tehillim, you know, Tehillim, as we always said, I always told you, is the most unique of the Sifrei. It goes back to the Yisur we learned on the first day we saw Tehillim, is the most unique of all of the Sifrei Tanakh in that the Christians were unable to manipulate the chapter breaks. This is the only sefer. Every sefer in Tanakh has been damaged, infiltrated. Every sefer by the Christians who hate us. Halacha b'du Esav son of Yaakov. They put in chapter breaks in all these strange places, which all are based and all are on poison of. By stopping over here, you're going to plant seeds of doubt in the minds of the people that are learning Tanakh because they stop at places in the middle of sections which damage the MS of what the... Oh, you can't stop in the middle. Well, you're driving on the highway. All of a sudden, you put your foot on the brake. Rachman al-Litzvan. This is the Sakonis Nefashos. You're going 60, 70 miles an hour and you put your foot on the brake and you stop over here. All the cars behind you, bang. Or crash right into you, and you'll cause a traffic jam that will go on the whole day. Go on the whole day. I saw a phenomenal video showing you traffic patterns. How once there's traffic, even though the accident's gone, the accident is cleared up totally. The traffic, because of the flow, can go on the whole day. There's an accident 9 o'clock in the morning and it's cleaned up by 10 o'clock, clean. There can be traffic the whole day, because there's a certain flow.
When they built Target at the junction, they did a traffic study and that's why they made the exit on Nostrand.
It's tremendous chachman traffic. Incredible chachman, beyond belief. The lights, you know, the lights are synchronized. You know, you don't realize Coney Island and Ocean Avenue, Ocean Parkway, the lights are synchronized. I thought they're synchronized. No, it's a miracle for them to get it to synchronize. It's all computerized. But do you know, I didn't know this, that the synchronization changes in the morning and the afternoon.
Rush hour.
That's a lot of chachma to go, and the whole thing is continuously being synchronized. True. It's synchronized to give you a ticket. It's synchronized to give you a ticket. There are a lot of manipulators out there. Okay, everyone has their agenda. What they're going on over here. So you talk about, the Christians, stop. Stop right in the middle of this section. You know how much damage that caused? If you know, if you start learning the Tanakh, it's even subconsciously.
Why did this Friday, did the Tanakh pick it
up? I don't know. So the only place where they're unable to damage is Tehillim. Tehillim, as we said on the first day, because Tehillim.
It's obvious where a parent begins.
Right, it's a mizmar.
No, so I'm not the, say out, well, Shira Malo,
They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. These are a collection of mizmarim, and they couldn't do it. So from all of Tanakh, the most pure of all of Tanakh is Tehillim. The Goyim were unable to touch.
And they don't even know the tune.
The MS, there are three from MS, but they didn't touch. That's an incredible yisoid. So therefore, my question then is, if that's taka true, they were not able to touch, then the numbers then possibly have significance. And when you learn a mizmar and you appreciate what the number is of this mizmar in the arrangement, which Dal Pi Ruach HaKodesh, that also plays a part, that's also a commentary on this mizmar. This mizmar is a very passionate mizmar. It's maybe one of the most passionate mizmarim we're learning now in the entire Sefer. Because Tehillim is associated with one person, David. Even though everyone here is very sophisticated in this room and knows that there are at least 10 people that have contributed to Tehillim. The Medrash, the 10 different people who wrote compositions and are included in Tehillim. But, you know, the average person, but what is Tehillim? David. David, 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 David. Every Tehillim has a David there. We know what he even looks like. Archkol knows what he looks like. We know what he looks like. He has a harp, and he has, you know, he's the most famous person in the world, David. So, David, and what was David's? Here is the first mizmar that where David expresses himself is where it all started. The chait of David and Bathsheba. And David, and it's all here. The whole nightmare comes out over here. What happened? And with David, how the godless of David of confessing. When Nosan HaNavi, as it says over here, B'voyel of Nosan HaNavi, Kasher Ba'al Bathsheba, when Nosan HaNavi confronted David and he gave him a mashal, and then David, he told, I have a shaila to ask you. And David said, the person, the mashal, we'll do it soon, the mashal is guilty. And Nosan HaNavi says, you know what I told you is a mashal for you. And you just paskind about yourself that you are guilty. The average person would say, oh, come on, I wasn't referring, I can't compare. How can you compare the mashal? It's not a good mashal. I'm a tzaddik. The first words that came out of David's mouth was, you're right. Chotasi, I made a mistake. And that is godless beyond belief. Godless, it's for today, for many people, not everyone, it's easy. It's easy. Why is it easy? Because there are cameras. It's not practical, this, that. And more importantly, David already paved the way. He already paved the way. He's also, Tzadka mimeni, Tzadka kama mimeni, I'm the father of the baby. Okay, there was no paternity test those days. He could have gotten away with it in a piece of cake. No, Tzadka.
She said no also, I think.
She said no, she said no. Mimeni. And David here, the godless of David, he taught the world, it's not so bad to confess. And then, but David now has to deal with the consequences. And he dealt with the consequences of this for the rest of his life. And Chazal even say all of his problems, many, they all came from this. David had a very difficult life. How young? He was a young man, it seems. It seems he was a very young man when this happened. He this was the beginning of, no, was he still, I don't remember. I'm embarrassed. This should be basic things. I don't remember. It's all explicit in the Pesukim and Shmuel. It's been a long time since I broke the binding of Sefer Shmuel. But David said, Chotasi, and then began a life, a whole life of doing teshuva for what he has done. And his teshuva is, in essence, is no. Please, you can summarize the whole Sefer Tehillim with one word. No. Please, Hashem, please have rachmanis on me. Ein no elo l'shoin bakosha. Hashem said no to Avraham, but David said no to Hashem. Please forgive me. He begged Hashem. The whole Tehillim can be summarized in one word. No, please. Look, when Moshe was mispalel for Miriam, the shortest prayer in Tanakh, Kel, Refa, No, Law. right? Refor, no, no.
Now.
So no, you just said the Targum. You're a Targum man. You're a Targum man. Rashi says no means please. The Targum all there also says it means now. Moshe, that means according. It's a very different, a very different. What's the word? The way you express yourself. It's very. How do you say that in English?
I've got to. What? The inflection.
It's a very different inflection. According to Rashi, it's a very different movie. According to Rashi. So every Targum disagrees with Rashi. According to Rashi, the movie they would show Moshe Kel no. No, refor no law. According to Targum, Kel, I demand of you, refor no law. Moshe is giving orders. Moshe is giving Hashem orders. You owe me.
We want Mashiach now.
You say something, you know, you really hit upon a very big idea. Lubavitcher Rebbe was very into this, and Rav Chudna, whose story also was in this, is a certain Mashiach was to demand Mashiach. In the Hasidim, we want Mashiach now. We want Mashiach now. There's a very famous story he passed away recently from the OU. The head of Stopler. Stopler was a very big tzaddik. Pinchas Stopler. I remember he used to come to my father's shul. Pinchas Stopler is the father of the Stopler now that you see around. So he was with Rav Chutner, and he said that Rav Chutner was in the car, driving in the car once, and Rav Chutner was very upset. And then he said, Mashiach has to come already. This is ridiculous. And then he said, he took his stick. This is what he said on the tape. He took his stick, Rav Chutner, and he started banging in the car. He was banging with his cane. And he said to Stopler, if Mashiach doesn't want to come with gutzkeit, we'll bring him with chutzpah. We'll bring him with chutzpah. Okay? So that's exactly what the Lubavitcher Rebbe said. I mean, I don't know if he said, but that's the Babel of Baba Treba. We, the Lubav, I used to be a member. I'm a card-carrying member of the Sivus Hashem.
What?
They went together. They were friends. They were very beautiful letters. Okay? The Lubavitch, the Rav Chudna on his deathbed, he says, he prays the Lubavitch Rebbe. This is all the politics stuff. Read Rakefet's books, all the politics. But when Rav Chudna was leaving this world, he was reminiscing. And he said some very beautiful things about the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And those who want to rewrite history says, no, he didn't. You have to read all the politics, okay? It's all politics. But they were together. There's a lot. Listen, life is complicated. And there are a lot of different kufis and eras and hula, whatever it is. And people take things way out of context. People make up things like me. People do all these strange things. But the story, I heard this in my own ears. I knew Rav Chaim Siddel was in the car. When I heard that tape, Yeshua Rogovsky was driving to Lakewood, he knows all these people, to Yeshaya Lenjitz's wedding. Yeshua Rogovsky was driving, Rav Chaim Siddel was in the front car, I was in the back, and he said, you got anything to play in the car? So he says, Rabbi Reisman tape. Oh, Rabbi Reisman? That was the time when Rabbi Reisman was like a mamish, like a rock star. So Rabbi Siegel said, oh, I want to hear, play it. Bameh koicho yofen. He never heard about Reisman. When Reisman came, I want to hear the koyach. I hear about Reisman. A thousand people. I never heard such a play. I want it by Meg Koyachoyofa. So he went to the whole. Then we finished that tape. What else he got here? I have from Rav Pinchas Stopler, the OU at one point in time, told all of the people who worked in the OU to make a recording of their Rebbe, give a hesped on their Rebbe. The people who were Talmidim of Rav Yashaber, people Talmidim of Rav Chudner, people Talmidim of Mir Yeshiv, different Gedil Mir Yeshiv, I don't remember. So Rav Pinchas Stopler worked for the OU, he was the main guy in the OU, he ran the NCSY. So he gave a two-hour lecture about his Rebbe, Rav Chudner. One half, I hope you'll forgive me, was very boring. He was going through some of the Pacha Yitzchak, so he didn't say it well, I don't mean anything by Chasham. And the other hour was fascinating beyond belief. Fascinating beyond belief. It was so fascinating that Rav Chaim Siegel was very upset that we were listening to it because he was saying some things that he didn't want us to hear, as if it really makes a difference. He said to Rav Pinchas Stopler, you need a vacation. If you need a vacation, so take don't slack off. You need so you go to the beach and and you take a nice a novel, you maybe even told him which novel to read, some Goyish novel, and you lie down on the beach with your novel and you relax. Rav Chaim still says, is we know that the Chosh Hashiva is a tzal. Rav Chaim still used to have this heavy accent. We know, basically he said, we know that the Chosh Hashiva is a tzal. He said this. Not everyone has to know this. Not every bocher has to know. You go to the beach. You know, not everyone has to know this in the public. It was very, very, very funny. That was quite a car ride to Lakewood, the most interesting car I ever had. We went on in that car. And the second most interesting car I had was when I went to Baltimore with Rav Aaron Schachter. that was quite an experience. The best part was when he said, turn on the news. Let's hear the news. Turn on the news. And then, and all the nonsense, and then came a commercial. Use your imagination. What commercial? you hear on the news on WINS. Use your imagination. And whatever you think your imagination, it's 10 times worse. So I remember we're sitting there. Oh, our eyes are popping out. Oh boy, what's going to happen now? So he goes like this. He just goes like this with his hand, which was telling the driver, shut off the radio. But you're the one who told us to put it on, okay? It's like the other story, Norman. The other story is I'm telling you all these stories. Yeah, is that when I used to go to Pachad Yitzchak Mitzray Shabbos in his house. And whenever he would go out to the Beis HaKisei in the middle of giving the shiur, everyone would open up the cabinet, and what was inside the cabinet? A television. So the time I went, they already got rid of it. So then when he sold his house to someone who davens, he moved to East 12th Street, he sold his house.
East 12th Street.
So he's living on East 17th. He lived on East 17th Street. He lived on East 17th Street. There's Aaron Schachter. So he told me himself that the person who bought the house from Aaron Schachter, Rav Shiva Chaim Lindner, should be gesund well, who lived on East 17th, so he bought the house. So Rav Aaron Schachter, Rav Shiva, he showed him the house. He showed him, took him to the basement. And then he said to me, he showed him the cabinet. He says, you see, that's where I kept the television. That's like everyone knows this. That's where the television was, in this cabinet. He told him when he saw
the basement.
Yeah, somewhere an old whatever it was. So going back to our sugya, no, there's a very the word no is an extremely powerful word. A no el loshen bakasha, in the shortest prayer. Of Moshe Rabbeinu, Kel Rifa No La, in Shmone Esrei, the different gear sois. What do you say, Mary? What do you say, Re'e Ve'onyenu, or do you say Re'e No Ve'onyenu? You say No, so you Nusach Svart. But I think in some of the Nusach Ashkenaz they also have it. Art scroll Ashkenaz does not have it. Not even in parentheses, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, they're not even in parentheses. They don't have it.
Maybe the
Tikkun
Meir had it or something.
Oh, could be, yeah. So it's a very big difference saying Re'ei Ve'onyenu versus Re'ei No Ve'onyenu. I would suggest that the Nafka Mina is, besides the Kabbalistic, you know, you want to talk Kabbalah, there has to be a precise number of words, number of letters. These are Kabbalistic in Yemen. Put aside all the Kabbalah. Let's just talk Pshat. What would be a nafka mina? Do you have the word na in the bracha? What is the translation? Is the word na mean please? Why? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? What are you saying? These bizarre things. What are you talking about? In any event, Re'ei nor will be a nafkamina. Again, this someone will shoot me on the spot. Nafkamina, it's Kabbalah. Don't you know there's the Ksav, there's Ari, and there's this. You have to have all the numbers add up, the gematrias and words and letters. I know. But I'm not into this type of stuff. It's too, my little head doesn't deal with these big numbers. Yeah.
I have art scroll in front of me. Svard.
Yes, yeah, Svard. I said Svard says no.
They don't say no.
There's no such Svard?
Right in front of
not even parentheses?
Nope.
An Ashkenaz? Maybe I got it all the way around. Ashkenaz?
No,
that's
not.
I have to pull it out.
It's
and my Rebbe doesn't have no
either. Your Rebbe Sida doesn't have no. They have a very unique Nusach by Rav Baruch, where by Rav Zitzel. I remember davening there once by him. He showed me the Nusach. It's a beautiful Nusach. All right.
Tell him to look at the Tikkun Meir.
Look, if you have the Tikkun Meir Sitter. Hey, if you're going to go look, the standard answer to these questions is, and it's true, no one has, I'm not chas v'sholem, who am I to open my big mouth, it's Kabbalah in Yonim. These are very, very heavy Kabbalah in Yonim of, there has to be a... Ashkenaz. So article zero, does not. N-O-T, does not have, not Ashkenaz and not Svard. Okay, fine. But there are definitely Siddurim that have the word no.
Yeah.
What would be a nafkamina? So there's a machlekes, consistent machlekes throughout the entire Chamisha Chumshe Torah as to the simple translation of the word no. Does it mean please or does it mean now? If it means please, you know, that's a nice thing to say. Re'ei no ve'onyenu. If no means now, it's a bit disrespectful. It's disrespectful. Who are we to say no now? Moshe Rabbeinu can say kel refa no lo. Okay, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. But we don't necessarily have such a koyach three times a day to make demands of Hashem. Do we deserve it? So what is the simple translation? We don't realize, I mean, this is something which is shocking for today, people are definitely much more sensitive without question. Now, right now, in this year, Tavshin Pei Gimel, I've seen it many times, people that have woken up and have become now Talmidei Chachamim, it's a different generation today, and they're much more aware of Targum than let's say 30 years ago. Not that I remember so clearly, but when you look back, years ago, Targum did not even cross a person's mind. Oh, you have to say every day, Shnai Mikav Yecha Targum, yeah, how many people follow the Halacha, and even those who did it, people didn't pay attention to it. And no, it says in Targum. Today, that's not so. Today, Targum has become a very big issue, has become a very big study. And in Targum, we discover a lot of things that we didn't understand. Look at that. It's Beferish in Targum. It's in Targum. The classic translation of the first pasuk in the Torah is, in the beginning. Who says that? So what happened? Years ago, people would say, oh, you're not Ma'aretz to say that. It means towards the beginning. Towards the beginning. The way the Aris will translate the first pasuk. And if you say in the beginning, you just like an Ma'aretz. Chas v'sholem. That's what the Targum says. The Targum says Bereshis means in the very beginning. The first thing that Hashem did is He created the Shemayim and the Aretz. According to Rashi, the Torah does not start with the creation of Shemayim Aretz. Before the Torah starts, the Shemayim and the Aretz was already there. The Torah does not start from the beginning. The Torah starts, the Shemayim and the Aretz pre-existed the beginning of the Torah. The Torah is starting to tell us things at a later point in time in creation. And when you learn that, they would make you feel almost, I'm just telling you my memories, maybe I'm different than anyone else, is that if you go and you say Bereishis means that in the beginning Hashem created the Shemayim Aretz, then you don't know how to learn. You're an unsophisticated peasant. Chas v'sholem. Chas v'sholem. That's what the Targum says. And there's numerous examples of things that people have questioned. Why do we do this? Why did this? Excuse me, look at the Targum. Targum is elementary. It's ABC. Rashi quotes the Targum only 1,000 times every parasha. This week's parasha, half the parasha is Targum. Targum, 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 Targum. Targum is the Ikar. So if no, the Targum says no means now, is it respectful for us to say to Hashem three times a day, Re'ei no ve'onyenu? Hashem, I demand that you look now at our suffering. It's a little bit disrespectful. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're supposed to be disrespectful when you daven to a degree. But if you learn no means, the simple translation, the pshat, is ein no elo l'shoin bakosha, the supplication. And then re'ei no ve'onyenu. It has much more flavor. That's why many people like to say re'ei no ve'onyenu, because we're Baruch Hashem, we're brainwashed. No means ein no elo l'shoin bakosha. So therefore, what's the sort of the whole shiur today? We're out of time. The shiur is this mizmar is David. We're now really beginning to heal him for real. This mizmar really, everything until now was just a hakdama. Mizmar Nun Aleph is the real haschola of David pouring out his heart. It all started with the chait of Bathsheba, David and Bathsheba. Nasna Navi comes and says, David, you did a terrible avera. And Nasna David Adamelam says, you're right. And now, the rest of my life, I'm going to have to beg Hashem for forgiveness. All of the tefillos of David are all rooted in this tefillah that he says to Hashem. He says to Hashem, and it's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that this has been selected to be Mizmar Nun Aleph. If we were writing Tehillim, I think this would be a very good candidate to be Mizmar Aleph. Right? If the whole Tehillim is all about David, if you're putting the harp on the cover of Tehillim with David, davening to Hashem, well, why is Ashrei Ho'ish? That's not a supplication. That's more of a statement of fact. The first Mizmar tells you, fortunate is the man that is a tzaddik. He'll have a good life in this world, good life in the next world. That's not a supplication. Mizmar Aleph doesn't really fit into the color photograph on the cover of the book. This is really where it all begins. So why do we wait until Mizmar Nun Aleph? Ein no elo l'shoin bakosha. It's not a coincidence that this is the number for this Mizmar. Okay, what I'm saying maybe is nonsense, but maybe it's not. What? Yeah. Oh, I never realized that. That's fascinating. And then you hear Nachi, what he says? That's fascinating. Ein no, ein is the same letters. Ein no. Chazal begin, ein no, elo l'shoim bakosha. Aleph, ein, aleph, nun, nun aleph. It's a, what's the word in English? It's pala?
It's not a palindrome.
No, it's not a palindrome, right. But it's the same letters. Very interesting. Okay, we're going to stop here, take a short break, and then we'll do something else. Not a surprise, but we'll see. Well, I have. Yes.
I made a big mistake.
You never made a mistake, don't worry. I can't hear you. I'm amish the sound here. Yeah? Okay, everybody said the Svard art scroll does have no. It does have no. Your Rebbe said no or not? He did say no. Okay.
I have a copy of a Siddur from the 13th century.
Yeah.
It's Reva on
Yehu. No, no.
No,
no. Okay.
Very good. You should print this shear.
What's so good about this shear?
It's a very good shear.
Okay, thank you very much.
Anyone who wants a mango, please let me know. I can bring some water.